Oh, man. Tragic start to the show.
We'll take R.I.P. my headphones.
Man. Just to take the audience behind the curtain for a second. You snapped your Beats by Dre headphones in the exact same fashion I did in these very studios.
Yeah.
So once if again, anyone
they claim another. They claim another. It's the studio. Were we live for that when it happened? I don't think we were live.
We were not live, no. Thank God.
That's unfortunate.
It is very fortunate.
It was very fortunate we weren't. Yes. Some salty language was spoken as it happened, just in a natural state of frustration as I was, as I just snapped my present that Aaron gave me many moons ago.
I would say that if we were live, this would be the last time that we'd be live.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't be on the show anymore for sure. I couldn't survive that. No one could.
There's no explaining away to
Tom Brenneman couldn't get back on that one, okay? Yeah. Right?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Thank goodness we didn't cross that line.
But listen, we came to play ball. We're here. Yes. Sometimes you got to play injured. We're going to do this thing. We're going to fight through it.
I think some of our best shows, we come out the gate stumbling.
I agree with that. With that teaser, ladies and gentlemen, stick around. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. We want to give a shout out to you, our listeners, and of course, our boy Patrick Riley, a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 530-588-6593 and on Facebook. Shout out to the future Hall of Famer, Patrick Riley. We love you and we appreciate your continued support.
HOF, baby.
You know what it is. Oh, speaking of Hall of Fame, we had some Hall of Fame fights we got to get to.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to have a fun show, man. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Statman Brad, will you pod me up? It's time to go, baby. From our sponsor.
I thought you were ready to go.
I am ready to go.
All right.
But first, a word from our sponsor.
This episode of Talking About Practice is made possible by the Civil War.
We talking
if you don't
about
try to break up
practice.
Every once in a while, are you really even trying?
We talking about practice. Not a game. Talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Instagram so much.
No?
Ones, yeah,
no?
Instagram.
Oh, okay, Instagram.
Yeah, I can say whatever I want. There.
As long as the mics are cut.
Yeah, these.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, as long as they're not hot mics, we're good.
As long as the phone's a hot mic, we're good.
Yeah.
All right.
What's good, everybody? Y'all know the drill. Talking about practice, Chico's only. I mean, you know how it goes. We're here. We're ready to have fun. I'm your co-host, Jerome. Got my partner in crime, co-creator of the show, breaker of headphones with me, Derek Isomeki.
What's good, party people?
We got the two-wheel driving, 18, everything from two wheels to 18 wheels driving, non-horseback riding, the one and only Stepman, Brett.
Yeah!
All right, so let's get right
to
it.
Yep.
All right,
yep,
100%. So listen, if you are a longtime listener of the show, you'd understand that this there's kind of a rhythm, a beat to the show each and every week, and you can tell when we're off of it. And I would say anytime someone's not here, and Rudy's not here today, but anytime anyone's missing, it's not the same beat. Today in particular, bit of a different day. Okay? I got here. Derek was the first to get here.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the first. Don't make
no,
it seem
it's
like
not,
that.
But it's such a rare occasion.
I will say, I was on a little bicycle ride that I was like, you know what, no point in me going home right now. I'm just going to start a little later than I thought. I was watching my boys in blue take on the Brownies down in San Diego. And then I circled back. So I was like, no point in going home. So here. Yeah, first one here.
First one here. All
right.
So obviously that threw me off when I got here.
Yes, 100%.
And then you
are the last one.
Yes, and let's,
which happens quite often at this point.
Because recently,
you are working, you're the
recently,
working
yes.
Yeah.
You're
the you know, freight train. You're the freight driver out there. You're getting the freights out there.
Yes,
yeah, you direct. 100%.
So we, for years, we were accustomed to you being the first one here.
Yep.
I would usually stumble in somewhere about 10 minutes before the show. And then usually Derek and Rudy around the same time. It was the three of us were kind of a toss up.
Yeah, yeah.
Some weeks early, sometimes right on time. However, today you come in and you have a motorcycle helmet, a motorcycle jacket, your motorcycle gloves. So obviously you rode your motorcycle, gathered.
And there's a fun story why I'm riding my motorcycle as well. So, but continue.
And you also have an Old Dominion freight line. Shout out to OD, your employer, the Mack driver himself. Mm-hmm. You have a backpack full of stuff, including a baseball bat. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I see a motorcyclist and a baseball bat, chaos is
not good.
Sure to ensue.
Not good.
So,
no.
So it's a softball bat.
Okay.
Doesn't help the case.
Yeah.
No.
Not like, oh, okay, it's a softball bat.
Never mind.
Yeah, you know what? Not a baseball
this
bat?
This guy's actually...
They're very different. They're not shaped the same in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
They don't do the same exact same thing.
Totally.
No, they don't. One is a little bit bigger for a ball, one's a bit smaller
Thank
ball.
You, yes.
Okay?
That's the
difference.
One's
not a ball.
Big difference.
Yeah, there was certainly a mother with a child crossing the street that was like, oh my God, look at this guy. Never mind, that's a softball bat. A motorcyclist with a softball.
Okay with yes.
A biker with a softball
handle
bat.
Itself
we're good.
Tells the tale.
Yeah.
It's a skinnier handle.
Moving on.
Yes.
Explain yourself, sir.
Why?
We have a lot of questions. What's going on with you?
So let's start why I'm riding the motorcycle.
Okay.
My ball bearing broke on my truck while I was driving. So,
was that today? Or
Friday.
Friday.
So Friday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that
so
already...
That so. Sucked. Right after work, and it was already a long day.
Okay.
Old
faithful.
Goes down.
Old faithful.
Going,
that
faithful
that one's
down.
On me. I expected to have a little bit more time with it before I needed those ball bearings changed, but unfortunately...
Cut down in a prime.
The day before Friday would have been the perfect day, but that didn't happen. So, ball bearings broke on the front driver's side, so that really sucked.
Okay.
And had to get that towed. It is now in the shop, mm-hmm. and I've been riding my motorcycle since.
Okay.
So I'm riding my motorcycle because of that.
Got it.
I also have a softball game today.
Okay.
After the show.
Got it.
So I had to bring my trusty bat and all my gear into my bag, and that was the only bag that I had because I have not yet bought a backpack for my softball bag, softball stuff.
So everyone who's looking for a axe murderer on a motorcycle, don't worry. That's just Brad.
Yeah, and it's just a softball bat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a softball bat. You know what?
Yes.
This whole story checks out.
Yeah.
I'm guessing your baseball, like your clothing for
cleats,
baseball.
Okay. My mask and everything's in there. Yeah.
Is baseball clothes or are you playing in jeans and a Yellowstone shirt?
No, I've got TVP shirt and
you're ready to go.
My shorts.
Okay. All right,
my
black
shorts.
All right,
say,
all checks out.
Jeans would have been a tough look, but like hard
and,
too.
Yeah.
Like you show up in a motorcycle and you play in jeans and you just like rock out.
This guy's going to be, he's
ball bearings my ass right there, you know?
So, and nice little shout out. I'm playing with a lot of the guys that we played against on Implication, so...
Oh, you traded, huh?
Well, you know what? We don't have a team anymore, so I kind of have to play.
Touche.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. Fair enough. I was just asked to join a team today. I was like, oh, I feel weird about that.
King of Singles got asked to join and you rejected?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
It was a Monday night thing. We'll get into that later. All right, let's... I think everything with Brad...
I was going to say, good.
There. He's got another friend group out there. That's what happens.
Well, you know, remember he said he would sell us out.
Yeah, exactly. Happens.
What was it?
For millions of dollars, guys. Oh. I wasn't just selling you up the river for...
Just for millions? Millions? That's,
I started at 1.7.
I would be like 10,000. I'd be like...
Wait, millions for the group or millions per person?
Individually.
Okay,
well,
that's fine.
We don't need to talk about who and...
Well, I don't need to know who's more, but I just want to make sure that I'm worth at least a million.
So if you... For those who weren't here for that joke, you can... be so self-indulgent, even though we spent 10 minutes being self-indulgent here. A few weeks ago, we talked about how much we would give up our friendships for, and I started the bidding with you boys in particular at $1.7 million. I think that's pretty understandable.
I don't remember the exact figure.
Yeah, honestly...
In fact, there's a million in there.
Yeah.
It's nice to know. Yeah.
I would hope that there'd be a bidding war for us, but you know...
Not a chance.
1.7 is fine.
I am not worth 1.7.
I can
tell you that.
I feel like I bring a lot of comedy that, like, people, if they're having a bad day, they can just look at me and start, you know, give me crap for it.
A punchable face is what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're
that's what you think you bring face. To the, yeah. the table.
Oh, I bring a lot more, but yeah, I feel
it's
like
nice
that's
the half of a punching bag. Yeah, everyone is, needs yeah. one.
But yeah. you know what? I'm also, you know, shoulder cry on the whole package.
You are a solid friend.
Yes.
Okay.
But worth. Also, and I can't say it. Sorry.
Off air. Yeah. Off air. Yes.
Sometimes I wish we could cut the mics and go to the joke in real time, but that'd be terrible for our audience. Should we talk some sports? We are a sports show.
Oh, yeah. Might as well. I mean, yeah, there's a lot to get to.
All right.
Well, stuff happened out there.
Let's start with America. Because it's been a tough few years for America.
Has it?
Not.
I mean, we're still number one out there, aren't we? No, we're not, but like,
I mean,
we
won't be after
like,
this.
We're not,
we'll
but
drop
we are.
Down to at least top three, I think. At least.
I mean, still.
We're not number one in the World Cup, and
yeah,
that's
no,
where we
yeah.
should
yeah.
start.
No, touche. Yeah.
The U.S.
women. We've dominated.
In the past, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
We've won three of the last four, haven't we?
We were going for a three-peat. So, yes, we've won three of the last four, yeah.
And we're out.
We're out. I think I called something like that.
You did predict it.
Yeah. I said quarterfinals, we wouldn't make it out of. We didn't even make it to the quarterfinals, unfortunately. Yeah.
So what did you see in this team that made you believe that the...
We were still relying on a lot of old dogs, I felt, out there. Like, the fact that Alex Morgan was still, like, our leading striker, she just felt like, come on.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't know. Like, why are you out there at this point in time?
I think they brought in Rodman a little bit too late into the, game.
Fresh blood in
yeah.
there. Yeah, but their play was also, until this last game against Sweden, was definitely a showing of, like...
The flash of what America
yeah,
used to be.
But it was far too late in this tournament right mm-hmm. now. The fact that they even got out of the round is a blessing in itself.
The goalpost right? is the MVP for the
100%.
United States.
Carly Lloyd is right on that. And the fact that everyone's giving her so much flack for her takes on this team right now and giving them the ripping that they deserve at this point... That's what you get when you have expectations like this. You fail to meet them. The fact that when Giannis made his statements of no, there's no such thing as failure, I ripped that as well because you had the expectation of winning right there,
yeah.
and you utterly failed. And you didn't have the expectations of what Giannis did and the Bucks did. No, you had higher expectations of that. You have set the bar so high, and that's unfortunate for you. Unfortunate for us that we have such lofty expectations for these ladies, and they failed to achieve them that they set themselves.
Yes,
but. When you have those expectations, you also are going to get the flack when you don't. You barely even don't even come close to getting what we expect yeah. out of this
well,
team.
What I thought was so interesting is so much of the talk leading into this Women's World Cup was the fact that the rest of the world was catching up. Did
yeah.
you think that that was more the case, or that the U.S. women just didn't show up?
It's a mixture of both. And that's a cop-out answer to say, because 100% I've been saying this world has come around. The women have caught up right now. Mm-hmm. They have finally funded their other world has funded their women's sports finally to a point that comes close to what America has done with our women's sports and how we have treated soccer, the main staple for women's sports in this country. We have... Other world has come that you've seen countless countries are proving themselves time and time again from England, Netherlands, Sweden has come around at this
yes.
point in time. They had a great team.
And they've been a good team for the past couple World
they
Cups,
have
too.
And that, like I said, that Netherlands team is a team that was in the World Cup final last mm-hmm. time around, and gave us a fight.
Don't forget Japan. They have been ridiculous as well.
We got lucky not having to face Japan.
Yes. If we beat Sweden, we were losing to Japan.
Japan is a... They're phenomenal team, and they have been a great team for quite some time.
Yeah,
they have been one of those teams that have that World yes. Cup in that 3 or 4. They have a great team. They have had a phenomenal team for quite some time, and they are doing. The world has definitely caught up.
Yes.
It's no longer a walk in the park for the women. The stages are definitely a lot more mm-hmm. grinding.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that I saw was they walked in expecting to win. Because they're America, they were before. I would say about not last World Cup, but the couple World Cups before that, they could walk in and walk their way into at least the semifinals.
You could have taken out your subs all the time just
yes.
for rest. That
yes.
was all you're doing. Now you had to do it for tactical reasons, and you weren't even doing it that right.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is they thought they were better than they were, and they didn't take themselves and they didn't take their opponents as seriously as they should have. I think they should have beat Vietnam at least by more than 6 goals. It should have been a 6-0 or more victory.
That was the telling point right
yes,
there.
Yes, right
me.
There. You know, it was like
this team
they
is not in it.
They weren't in it going into the World Cup either in the warm up games. They were awful. They
yes,
just looked lackadaisical. Their games just weren't on. Like they weren't meshing like they in the they were in the past. It was a lackluster performance until that Sweden game. And like you said, it was way too late. They were still not gelling like they should have, and they should have scored at least one goal. There were so many opportunities, and they just weren't ready for
That's
it.
That's one of the things of like the cruelty of this sport, of how football can truly just be has such a chafe in the wind at this point in time, in terms of just it really just goes which way the wind is blowing, and you never know which way it is going every point in time in the game. And that's what the USA was at. They had everything going in their way in that game. They obviously should have won it in the time allotted. They shouldn't have gone to extra time. They should have won it there. They had chances, but not just that, but you get to the PKs. How terrible they were at them.
Yeah.
How terrible they were.
And the one big takeaway is, for me, I think I will remember Megan Rapinoe for that shot a lot more than her victories, just because of how it led up. It was lackluster in her performance in the warm-up games, in the games leading up, in her actual league games for the WMLS, and just with how she performed.
She is 38 years old, bro.
She should not have been in this position right now.
100%.
She should have been in the game, honestly, to begin with.
I completely agree, but at the same time, that's where she landed.
That's where she was, and that's what she did. And that was the amount of flack that like someone like Harry Kane got isn't honestly enough for what she should kind of deserve right now, how bad it was and how good
absolutely
what the expectations are for her.
Yes.
Expectations that she has set herself. She is a Ballon d'Or winner. She is a phenomenal player in the women's game right now, and she did that. Not just her. It was
two other players. It was Kelly, I believe it was Kelly O'Hare and Stephanie Smith.
Yes.
Or Sophie Smith.
Yeah.
They didn't even get on target. That's the sad part. If one of them just got on target, game over.
Well, and the fact is, the U.S. women put themselves in this position.
Yes.
They should have been playing South Africa, right?
Yes, 100%.
They should have been playing South Africa. Instead, you're playing the number three team in the world. You put yourself in this position.
Yes.
And Carly Lloyd, after the game, called out the coach, called out the players.
Rightfully so.
And I just think, this was an utter collapse. I mean, listen, I'm no soccer expert. Obviously, on the show, Derek is our soccer expert.
I'm no expert either, but, I did call it. But still,
I mean, you did call it.
You know, I have my watching. I actually watched the sport
Yes, but watching the game, it was pretty obvious. Like, sometimes the players just didn't seem to have the juice. Make a sub.
Yeah.
You get five of them, make a sub. And I just thought the playing back style instead of constantly attacking like we're used to seeing from the U.S. women, it was poorly coached.
Yeah. And John on the chat said, give Sweden props. And it's like, they're the number three team in the country or in the world. And they played their hearts out. And unfortunately, they weren't even able to score in regulation either.
When the USA wants to turn it on, they can be that. It could be dominant when they do play as a cohesive unit, because you did also see in the very beginning how each one of them was expecting them to make the play.
Yes.
You know, each one wanted to be able to break their opponent, wanted to be able to be the one that got past and make the spectacular one-on-one move instead of just making the quick passes and movements that are required in this game to be that great team, where it is just a finesse game, where it is just a gelling of essentially 11 minds together on the field. And it wasn't like that at all.
No.
And each person was just kind of, the movement did not seem flawless as it's supposed to be with them, as we expect with them. The fluidity was not there. This team there was no cohesiveness. They obviously had some moments out there, and they looked great when it finally came together. Mm-hmm. But again, it just too little, too late. Yeah. As cliche as it sounds.
Yeah. And the talent's there. The talent's there for the next World Cup. I think we shouldn't worry. It just comes down to how the next 4 years go with this team. How do they start realizing we need to play better? We need to play not selfish soccer and go from there. And all we can do is sit back and watch and hope and pray that they figure it out. Because at this point, they're going to start playing like the men, and they're going to get paid like the men.
I mean, this is what you're going to get. You're also going to get the expectations in the eyes, And the eyes have come with it, the vitriol. And they're not fun to deal with at times.
And this isn't fun to talk about a U.S. loss. So let's talk about something that is fun.
100%.
Boy, did we have a fight in baseball.
Oh, yes!
I mean, listen,
we don't get these very often.
No, we don't. The last one was, what, Joey Bautista getting clocked?
There was that. There's, I feel
I
like
mean, there's always some scrums, but nothing
like
those
this.
Two.
That was the last major, like, punch we, we have.
Have you seen landed?
Yeah, you have a lot of guys that are swinging, but they're missing or they're hitting shoulders. It's not great.
A lot of pushing and shoving, a lot of yelling. It'll be a yelling match out there, just a massive scrum.
But this was not that.
This was
so this is
personal.
As Ramirez dives headfirst.
Jose Ramirez of Cleveland Guardians.
Jose Ramirez, Cleveland Guardians, slides into second. Tim Anderson, obviously on the bag, stands over him, and some jawing ensued. And then next thing you know, Tim Anderson threw down his glove.
It was beautiful.
It was on. And
hockey-esque.
The way he threw down his glove, you knew this dude has been in a scrap or two before.
Got to give props to the umpire in that situation who just backed off.
He went straight into...
He's like, I'm out.
He went from a baseball ump to a boxing referee. Immediately, yep. It was beautiful to watch.
Fantastic!
It was beautiful. Well done. Thank you. That was the hero of this weekend.
He allowed that to happen. He knew it needed to happen.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's been a lot of underlying issues between Tim Anderson and some other players in the league, and Jose Ramirez. And this obviously is a rivalry with their being interdivisional teams right now. That being said, this Chicago White Sox team is an utter mess, and Tim Anderson is no less the bigger loser in this situation than anyone has ever been. In any situation, it's a fight he insinuated.
Yes.
He got caught with a blind overhand right that didn't even connect. He hit him with the inside of his hand, but he just hit that button.
He hit the right part of the chin.
Yeah, he tapped the goodnight part of the chin.
He was out.
He was out cold.
Yeah.
And him stumbling off the field, it wasn't just like a little light, half-second knockout, and then he was back up. No, he was
out.
Birdies were around his head.
He was around. And the worst comes to worst right now. It only gets worse for the guy when he's down.
Yeah.
The punishments did come out for the fight from the MLB. I wish they didn't. I wish they just allowed this to happen right now because this is a beautiful thing to happen. And so many people were talking about it. It got everyone so excited. And they just the way hockey does it is beautiful. And everyone's like, oh, we shouldn't incite violence. No, these are professional athletes. If they want to throw down, let them throw down and let us enjoy this moment right now, okay? Let's get our popcorn, let's get our bonbons, and let's have a little feast of the eyes and mouth right now as we get to tantalize our senses to this fight that's happening before our eyes, and we love it. And I know we're sycophants right now. We shouldn't be thinking like that. We shouldn't indulge in this type of behavior.
Oh, we should.
What do you mean?
100% these are professional athletes right now who are on the tip of all expectations. They're all alphas out there who expect the best. If they want to throw down, let them throw down right now. And that's what we got. Like I said, the worst did come to worst as Tim Anderson did get the largest suspension of the bunch in there.
As
he got 6 games suspended for him. 3 games for Jose Ramirez, I want to say. And there's a game also for Emmanuel Clase, Tito Francona, and a couple other people as well.
Tim Anderson absolutely started that fight.
100%. He was ready. He was itching for it right now. Something was going on, and he
wanted all the smoke till he got it.
Yeah.
And I like Tim Anderson, man, but, man, that was...
And the thing is, as it gets worse for this guy, he is having the worst season ever.
Yes. Yep.
Not... Like for him, and he's also being literally the worst player in the league right now, according to the WAR graph. So it's a tough year for Tim Anderson.
He's been knocked out the same amount of times he's actually hit a home run this year.
That's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough.
And the fact that he only has one home run is bad. That's a tough look. For a guy who is a perennial all-star, who is, like you said, who has an attitude about him that is great and is fun to watch, and he can be a fantastic player, oh, man, he is going to be in a tough way the coming years because I believe he is an impending free agent. He's obviously going to get a 1-year contract wherever he goes because he has not dug himself a long-term deal in any way, shape, or form, especially after this performance in the ring. That was not fun. And you're going to be fighting for your careerhood at this point in time. It's going to be tough for Tim Anderson right now.
And he's not that good at fighting either.
No! The guy lined up as a southpaw. I don't know if he realized he's a righty. Unfortunately, there were a lot of takes of him in the Twitter past that he made some comments that he would be able to take anyone on, and he has since tried to delete those, not realizing how the internet works.
Mm.
You can't delete anything on the internet. Once it's out there, it's out there.
Yep.
It's out there, my dude. And you're only highlighting even more by taking it down. Just goes to show that knocked took him back a couple of generations right there. That was tough. Tough for Tim Anderson right now. That's...
But in sports, we celebrate these moments.
Oh, gosh, it was beautiful.
We celebrate these moments. I wanted to do a TBP-themed Hall of Fame for the best sports fights, but I think we'd all probably agree on number one.
mouse in the palace.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's weird. Outside of that.
When I thought about it, I was like, maybe the only way we could really do it is if we exclude the malice from the palace.
Okay.
But then that kind of eliminates the whole fun behind putting a list together.
No, I feel like it's like you recognize
the ultimate one.
You recognize the pinnacle and you just go from there.
Well, I guess, like I said, for, you know, Rudy's pick, we'll just automatically, it's his, so we can't take it. So we already know it's there, pretty much. Then it's the next three of us,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, then should we just do it?
Yeah.
You might as well.
100%.
Yeah. That's, I just, okay.
We're vying
for number two. All right. No, we're vying for number two, baby.
Thank you.
I do feel it. Maybe we should just, like.
We got it. Then we'll go for the second best fight.
I'd say the Yankees, Red Sox.
Well, we're not.
You looked at him. I thought we were doing
all
this.
Right, it's over. And the moment's passed. The moment has passed. Great producing.
Great hesitation on your part.
Run it. All right.
A place reserved for unquestionable greatness. A title worthy for only the very elite. A prize many will vie for, but only one will win. Each week, this is the TBP Hall of Fame.
Yes, indeed. So you already know the theme of this week's Hall of Fame. It is the second best fight in sports history, because we all agree that Malice in the Palace is the best fight.
Now, and guess what? I feel like there are a couple out there. I will be trying to nominate that I realize neither of you will, if you realize it has its take on taking down Malice in the Palace. But maybe
okay, we'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second.
I apologize for jumping the gun there. Once again, bad producing, Brad.
Yeah.
get it together, my dude.
So, Rudy doesn't. Here's how this works. You don't get a pick if you're not here. You don't show up, you don't get a pick.
Yeah.
Malice in the Palace is out, okay? So, and we already know your 2003 New York Yankees Boston Red Sox.
100%.
You killed all the anticipation there.
Yeah.
It really took the wind out of the sails.
Which is, like I said, a solid pick right
yeah.
there.
I read the room wrong. I apologize.
Is this the one you're talking about?
Yeah, where Pedro Martinez takes Zimmerman, throws him down. Okay,
that was a good one.
I hated how everyone responded with, "Oh my gosh, how dare you attack an old man like that?"
Well, the old man
came at you, man. Yeah. When somebody comes at me, right, dude, you have every right to.
I don't care.
Let his momentum take him over. And that's what Pedro did.
Yes.
Just let step out the way. You know, boom.
Guide him to the floor.
Don Zimmer, don't get out the dugout, my dude.
Yeah.
You know?
If you can't take the smoke, stay in the dugout. Stay in your seats.
All right, I'm going to make my nomination then. And I'm going to go for the late 90s Miami Heat, New York Knickerbockers.
Ooh.
Larry Johnson, Grandmama, Zoe. And, of course, what we all remember is our boy Jeff Van Gundy hanging onto Alonzo Mourning's legs.
Quality game right there. Quality fight. Definitely some quality punches thrown in there.
And this was
when you see a Jeff Van Gundy be like a rag doll.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
And just remember that these are two teams that fought earlier in the 90s with P.J. Brown and Charlie Ward, which was also awesome. So it was just building off that momentum, that story. What do you have, sir?
So mine can take you back again a little bit further in history right now. This one takes you into the Maradona days of football, when he was playing for Barcelona. They were in a Copa del Rey final against Atletico Bilbao. And what proceeded to insinuate is utter and truly chaos / a riot. As multiple tackles were taken on Maradona that were trying to essentially, he had been fighting it, came back from a gruesome injury that had essentially nearly ended his career, and people trying to take his livelihood essentially away from him, was trying to again in this game, got very personal, and a fight started to ensue, and he proceeded to knee to the head, the goalie of Atletico Bilbao, knocking him out, and essentially ending that man's career right there, and ended his time at Barcelona as well. But that fight was, like I said, if you see on video, you will know what I'm talking about. It is a truly kicks and it's more worse than punches. Kicks were thrown as these soccer players were using their strength.
All right. There you have it.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll put it up on the poll. Y'all go and vote. We'll see where we end up. Again, Malice in the Palace excluded. We're vying for second best fight of all
time.
Yeah,
we realize that is the best.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, let's take a little break, Ski. You know what it is, talking about practice, Chico's number one sports talk show. Appreciate y'all vibing with us this evening, having some fun, breaking down fights and whatnot. Jiro, Derek, Statman Brad in the building, Rudy not here. Hopefully be back next week, we'll see. That does mean his cold streak in gambling is going to pick back up, so that's your bad, Rudy, rude dog. Enjoy losing money this week.
Yeah, no, that's what happens.
That's why he's working right now.
Gotta pay the bookie somehow. You know?
No doubt. We want to give a shout-out to our friends at Baker's Birkenstock, featuring more than 40 brands of footwear, socks, purses, and hats. Baker's Birkenstock has been serving our community for over 40 years with locations at 333 Broadway Street in downtown Chico and at 691 First Street in Paradise, also on Facebook. Once again, give yourselves a shout-out. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Talking about practice right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. All right. So I think we got to the bottom of our sketch little friend over here with his softball bat.
We did, yeah. That makes sense. I hate when he comes up with a logical story.
I really did too. Yeah, I was really hoping for something.
I'm not really a good storyteller, so
yeah, it's just it makes sense.
Well, good thing you're in front of a microphone every week. all right, let's get you guys caught up on what's going on around the world. Derek Ismacki has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Ismacki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. So this time, to start you off, we head up to good old Canada. Good old Canada. Where a man by the name of Mike Rose, he's a real estate agent up there. They have those up in Canada, apparently. They have real estate agents, too. It's crazy to the amount of similarities that we have with Canada. So a British Columbia real estate agent, like I said, by the name of Mike Rose, got himself in a little trouble when he was showcasing a house. He's showing a house to a nice little couple. Proceeds to give him a little more of the showcase as he opens the fridge. When they weren't looking, they apparently took out some of the milk, took a little swig from the jug, straight from the source, and put it back. This cost him $20,000, that sip of milk. Because he was caught on film doing it. A little breach of privacy right there.
I would say so.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when you put it back. You know, you put your lips on it, my man. I mean, you could...
Did you need a drink of milk to just drink a rando's milk?
Yeah.
So the place had a current tenant in it? Is that what I'm assuming?
Yes, yeah. So it was obviously this person was going to be leaving. They were just showcasing it out, and they still had some... The thing's still in it. You know, they want to make it feel like it was lived in. You know what's more lived in than having some milk in your fridge?
Yeah.
That's the American way. God, guns, and milk, okay?
Wait, hold up. This is Canada, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Right, we're in Canada. Never mind.
But also...
Like I said, many things are like from here in Canada.
Their milk's in a bag, not in a box.
Ooh, there you go. Bag milk.
Facts.
They do have some of those, but apparently this one was able to chug from... Now, maybe it doesn't say, it might have been their own jug that they had the homeowner's milk in. Some people do transport their bagged milk into a jug.
Gotcha.
So that could be possible. Right. So the plot thickens. Either way, $20,000 for that sip of milk, that hurts. Is there any beverage that's worth $20,000? No, not at all.
No.
I mean, milk's probably the closest thing I'm willing to pay that much money for. If I, you know, because I love my milk, especially the chocolate milk.
You know, yeah, I don't really drink milk.
You
so.
Got milk. See, milk's terrible for me, but I love it so much. You give me some good chocolate milk. Oh my goodness!
I like chocolate milk, but just milk in general, I don't really do. I do
more
oat milk,
Ovaltine,
almond milk.
No, You never an Ovaltine fan?
No.
I was. Yeah.
I was more of a Nestle Quick kind of guy.
Yeah, no, I mean,
you got around.
Little Hershey syrup, chocolate syrup.
Hershey syrup, that's like the delicatessen, I feel like doing it. Yeah. I feel like the Ovaltine was like, they cared about you. Nesquik's like, yeah, here you go. Here's some powder.
Fair enough.
So careful what you drink, y'all. Mainly where you drink it and who's it from. And if you're in Canada. Moving on. This one is a toasty one, y'all. This is tasty. This is nice and tasty for you as we get into the good old inner workings of the drama-filled lives of Middle America. Going to Pontiac, Michigan right now, guys, where Brianna Kingsley, 40-year-old, has submitted a claim that alleges that her 37-year-old ex, William Wojcicki, obviously pronounced that right with utter perfection, is keeping her previously removed testicles.
What?
That is right. Brianna Kingsley is a transgender woman and had her keepsakes still with her. So it's kind of nice. You kind of get the chance to keep your own testicles once you have them taken out. Kind of like your teeth.
Hmm.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Kept them in a jar?
Yeah, I was kept them in a jar. Essentially, like a pickled mason jar, essentially.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
God. Okay.
Now.
I hate where this is going.
No, you're welcome, America. So Brianna Kingsley is removing that she wants her balls back. Don't blame her. They're your balls, right? Problem is, William is stating that they broke up over 8 months ago. And when she left, she took everything she ever wanted. Apparently, she didn't want her balls. Literally and figuratively. Only one that liked that one, okay.
Okay. I just wasn't wanting to laugh too hard on that.
Either way! Now she wants her balls back. So, she is taking him to court. William is saying he's not going to give up because he doesn't feel he has to. She has harassed him for over the 8 month period of time, threatened him to go to his work and given a hard time there. So he has nothing but ill will to Brianna at this point in time. And he's happy to keep her balls. I think once you have somebody balls, you probably pretty much you don't want to let them go, right?
No.
Yeah. Once you got them, they're yours. You know? Like, why would you let them go?
Really got them by the balls.
Really got them by the balls.
Really,
yeah,
though.
That's takes them to a new level. So, Brianna, best of luck. Hopefully you get your balls back. William, fight the good fight.
So you really don't hope that she gets her balls back.
Okay, moving on.
That's your story for the day, guys. That's the news. Oh, wait, we don't have Aaron here today, so I think I should do one more, can't I?
You can. We do have three questions.
Maybe. Yeah, let's not do that, because this one is... Never mind.
Real quick, your little $20,000 drink actually is the most expensive drink anybody's ever taken one single. Because single most expensive drink is at the Ritz-Carlton Tokyo Diamonds Are Forever Martini at 2 million yen, which is approximately $19,000 in U.S. dollars.
Thank you for that knowledge right
that
now.
That
is beautiful.
Because I was thinking about
that's
it.
That's how you bounce back from a bad joke.
Because I was thinking about, have you guys ever heard the...
Million Dollar Margarita?
Well, no. Okay. But it was more of the drink at the Kentucky Derby.
The
Mint Julep. $2,500. It's in a gold cup.
So you're just paying for the cup.
I thought about that. I'm like, but wait, what is the most expensive drink? And apparently Diamonds Are Forever at the Ritz-Carlton in Tokyo.
So, my dude, you missed out on a $19,000 drink. Instead, you had a little sip of milk.
Yep.
Could have got something better. Could have got a martini.
Moving on.
All right.
See them two questions, shall we?
Let's get to the questions. I just wanted to clear something up. And I know I haven't been very helpful because I was doing a lot of questions on Flipside Radio and in other places. The easiest place to get to us is TBP, Not a Game on Instagram. You can email the show talking about practice. TALKIN bout, BOUT, practice, show at Gmail. Because I'm getting questions everywhere and I don't want to miss some. And I found one that was a good one, but it's now about a month old. And We missed it.
We want to help you out, y'all. We're experts in this, obviously.
I even got a Snapchat one, and I tried to screenshot it, and I lost it, and I told them where to email. We never got the email.
No. So.
You know, I don't want your valid questions that you're looking for some bad life advice on to go into the ether. So there you go. A couple ways to get them to us. All right. Relationship troubles. What up, dudes? And Aaron. No Aaron today. So what up, dudes? I've been listening to the show for 5 years now, and it is now part of my evening commute every Monday. You all are funny, and Derek never ceases to amaze me on his wildly controversial and often have-to-do-nothing takes about just everything. That's
he
great.
He gets it.
This guy gets the show.
Thank you.
The reason I write you is I am in an incredibly awkward situation with my girlfriend's family. My girlfriend and I started dating when we were freshmen at Chico State. Last year, she moved back to her hometown to get her MBA and live with her parents while doing so. She only moved about an hour and a half away, so we still see each other two or three times a month. Her parents are very conservative religious folks, which is fine and hasn't been much of an issue until recently. Being that we are in the midst of a long-distance relationship, much of our communication is via FaceTime. Recently, I reached out and asked if instead of staying with her parents when I came to visit, I could get us a room so we could have some time to just be with us and, you know, a little intimacy. This wouldn't be the first time we have done so, so I thought a request wasn't that big of a deal. I planned on renting a room or an Airbnb and just have it to ourselves. It seems I caught her in a bad mood after a long day of school, and she felt pressured by me. Apparently, her dad, who I will remind you is fairly conservative and religious, asked her why she was in a bad mood, and she bleeping told him about my request. We have still been talking since the request the week ago, but it seems that she's getting more distant. And now her dad knows about my request, which will undoubtedly make for an uncomfortable interaction next time I go to see her at her parents' house. What should I do?
These are times I wish Aaron was on.
This would be helpful.
Yeah. We're sorry for not doing that right now, my man, but play the card you dealt.
I don't know, man. Why would she tell her father?
That's a little tough right there. That's a bad look.
Why would she tell her father that, hey, my boyfriend would like to sleep with me this weekend, and I don't know that I'm feeling that, so I feel pressured. That's really weird. That's a weird dynamic, and is this a sign of things to come? Here's the thing, or not in this case. Here's the thing. I never felt it necessary to take the drama of me and my now fiance or anyone that I was with to friends or family. I just don't think that's the right place for it. Mm-mm. You know, like maybe your friends, but certainly not your parents.
Until you're ready to like, this is the one, or this is already the one.
Or this is not the one, and this is what's going on. I need help getting out of it.
Sure. Sure. And maybe that's what's going on here.
But at the same point in time, it sounds like, again, I'm sure they probably met before, and there are many people who just want to meet the people that are in their people's lives, you know?
But to go to your dad and put him in that position and knowing what he's saying about being conservative and being religious, this is now he's thinking y'all are living in sin. Like, how do you get back? How do you come back from this? I just feel like you're in a pretty bad spot, and she lives an hour and a half away anyway, so.
Now, again, I'm not Aaron, but I feel like for women out there, have the confidence to say no to the guy when you don't feel comfortable doing it.
100%.
You know? And to any
That's
guy
within
out there,
her right, yeah. for sure.
And for any guy out there that has any reason I'm trying pressuring anyone doing anything, that's a bad move. Don't ever do that.
Yeah.
And to any woman out there who feels pressure, immediately back off.
But he did. So I do understand some of the confusion, and this isn't to excuse any poor behavior because we don't have all the background here, but it sounds innocent enough. And he said they've done it, they've done this before. Yeah. Yeah. He's rented a room or an Airbnb, and maybe she just wasn't feeling it. She did have a bad day, whatever. And if that's the case, like, how many times did you ask? If you just asked once and she went into a tizzy over it, that's wild, and I would say break up with her.
That's a little, that's a big red flag.
If right what there. You're not telling us is you've brought it up time and time again, and you're talking about how you have needs and you're a man and, you know, all these things, and you are pressuring her, then this is on you, bro, and maybe find someone who's more into, you know, being with you in those ways. We don't have all the background here.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I would just simply say, you know, maybe this isn't the right situation.
At the same point in time, don't judge the relationship merely on that as well.
But that's all I have to go off of, right?
If you really do have a connection with this girl and you do feel that the time you're spending with her is still enough to feel flourished enough in there, then continue. But if you feel that something for you to continue this relationship is something like for that step to happen, this is, again, you're in the wrong one right now. And
I would just say, like, communicate, explain yourself, like, hey, I wasn't trying to pressure you. I just felt like we haven't had, like, the alone time that we've had in the past. Like, not in that way, but, like, we would.
Communication is key all the time. That's 100%. Always 100%. Just communicate your feelings. I know they suck.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it, but, like, it helps.
And just for everyone out there, don't go to your parents and complain about your significant other.
No.
Unless you're looking for actual, like, advice on something that's, like, really serious or, you know, like, just advice on how to be better. Don't go. You don't,
ratting him out in this way.
Yeah. That's basically not a good look.
Don't taint the people you're around to your parents, because that's not going to go well.
Exactly.
At all.
Yeah. They're not going to like you either for it.
Well,
so it's a lose-lose.
Yes.
All right. So moving on. This one's titled Boss Sucks. This one came to me via LinkedIn, which was kind of bizarre, but he said, been following you on LinkedIn. Recently started listening to the radio show. Really enjoy it. You guys make me laugh. You're welcome. I figured this question might be good. Be a good one for you all to help me with the specific situation I'm dealing with at work. My situation is such that I have a great job, but my boss sucks. My boss doesn't seem to like me at all. Oftentimes in team meetings, he'll single me out for something, even though I am one of the top producers on my team. Every year, our company gives annual raises based on cost of living increases. Then they'll give you a bump on top of that if you have outperformed your contract. I finished the year top 3 out of 22 reps, and yet I only got my cost of living increase. When I went to my boss to discuss this, he mentioned that hardly anyone got a bump beyond the cost of living increase. He also mentioned multiple things I can do to improve my performance. I'm not someone who cannot take constructive criticism, but I thought he was being very nitpicky, as, again, I am one of the top performers on the team. I am ahead of my goal for the year, so I am thrown off as to why he's still singling me out when I have done a good job overall. I am pretty well liked at the company, and I have a lot of friends at work. I approached some of them and asked if they have noticed anything in particular in regard to the way my boss treats me. I also asked them if they got a bump in pay beyond the cost of living increase, and almost everyone said not only did they think he doesn't like me for no apparent reason, but also almost all of them got a larger increase in their base pay.
Oof.
Due to the structure of the organization, I can't just jump to another team, nor do I want to quit my job, as it is a really good company, good salary, and all the bennies and whatnot. If you were in my shoes, how would you handle a situation with your boss?
That's a tough one right
there.
That's
rough, man.
Once I hear that pay increase happening to everybody but you, that's a line in the sand I don't like having to draw right there.
Yeah.
You know, but that sucks.
I would wonder, is it possible to go talk to another executive or human resources? If you have 22 reps, you're a large company. There's more detailed in this that he left out because it gave away who he works for and all that. But it is a larger corporate structure. He also went to describe his boss as being older. He didn't say that in this. But if you're a top performer and your boss is in a corporate structure, there could be a lot of insecurities going on there. If you're younger, you're popular, that could be, there could be some jealousy. There could be some other things going on. You don't know. And there are times when you'll just get mashed up with someone that isn't a good fit, right? So I would see, like, going out. Obviously, you can't go directly to him.
Yeah.
If he's the problem.
You've already tried, yeah.
So I might start with, like, an HR. Yeah, it's just tough because it's your boss.
Yeah.
I would start with HR, bro. I'm sure you've already got that feedback. I'd love to give you something deeper. But sometimes, man, in corporate culture, this happens, you know?
People just have some axes to grind at times, too,
yeah.
You know? And it's just, not, you know, and maybe it is personal, maybe it's not. Maybe he just doesn't like your hairstyle. Maybe he just, like I said, it is certain insecurities at times. That usually what it comes down to is people are just have some inability to, they don't like about themselves.
Yeah, and it's starting to come at your pocket, which is a huge hit. I think going to HR, I don't know what your policies are. If it's an open door policy to go to anybody within the company, I would even go to HR, see what they have to say. If it doesn't work there, I'd go to the next step up and at least say, like, hey, I'm having this issue. Can you help me figure out how to communicate better to him?
I don't want to say never. Because I absolutely don't mean that. I don't like on face value the idea of going over someone's head, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary.
Yes.
And we've all done it when we're not getting the results we want. And I would say if there's an executive there that might have some say, some sway in that company that you could win over, maybe ask to go grab lunch with. And I wouldn't start with this, you know, kind of talk about how they got in their position, how you could be better at your position, you know, some of the things you've really enjoyed, some of the things you've learned, ask for advice, and then shoehorn this in at the end. You know, hey, I'm running into this situation. I don't know how specific you even have to be, but, you know, someone in upper management, I feel like I'm doing a really good job, and I'm not getting that reciprocated. I might try that, but that can really burn you if they have a great relationship that you're not aware of. So proceed with caution.
Yes.
HR is a safe route, but if you want to get direct, quick results, that might be another
way. Stay by the water cooler, you know, and get some get some dirty deets out there.
All right, let's go to something much more up our alley, boys. What up, friends of TBP? I've been a big fan of you all since the very beginning. I used to listen to Say Hey and was sad to see that show go, but I absolutely love talking about practice. Well, we absolutely love you.
We miss Say Hey, too.
We do. Shout out to our boy Jake Noobs. I still see Jake quite a bit. He's a man around town.
He is.
Good dude. Recently, I was asked to be in one of my best friend's weddings. I happily accepted this invitation and looked forward to the wedding. However, the best man is a dork and a total control freak. When we finally settled on going to Scottsdale for his bachelor party, we were planning on going in the spring for spring training. The best man decided that wasn't going to work for his schedule, so we are now going in the fall. Beyond that, the best man also sent out an itinerary already. But this was no regular itinerary, my friends. This is broken down to the minute, including what time we need to be back at the Airbnb so we can get, in quote unquote, we could get fresh for our morning round of golf. Okay. Beyond that, the best man did not reach out to a single one of us to ask us our opinions of what we should do and took the liberty of setting all of our activities up himself. To my knowledge, he hasn't even reached out to the groom. The groom told him he wanted to go to Scottsdale in spring, but again, the best man decided that spring wasn't going to work for his schedule, so no spring training, but guess what, guys? We still get to golf. The best man, a part of the itinerary is a tour of downtown Scottsdale and the historic district.
Yes.
And some other lane stuff that it's no important. One seems to want to do. I don't want to go to the groom and tell him that his best friend sucks and he's being hella lame, but I don't know how else to handle the situation. I know that the other guys in the group feel the same way, but the best man is really close with the groom and in lies part of the issue as far as the friendship dynamic. Any advice? Oh, we're all super bummed about the situation, and most of all bummed out by having a full itinerary that includes where we're going to eat, where we're going to drink, different drinks to try, and some of the different plates that some of the restaurants are known for. Any advice on this topic would be much, much appreciated. Keep up the great work, dudes, and Aaron. You all have a really awesome show. Thanks in advance for the help.
This is atrocious.
Oh, yeah, man.
I hate this life.
So here's the thing. Here's what you got to do. You got to pull a coup.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to get 100%. Everyone else in on it. You got to, again, bring it in softly with your with the groom.
Yep.
But, if that doesn't work, just hammer it over the head with him.
But start maneuvering in the shadows and pull a coup. And here's what you do. If you got a decent group of dudes, you all are a good time, it's all your core guys, what you do is you get there and you say, hey, this itinerary, we're done with it. We're not doing an itinerary. This is a bachelor party. We're here to drink and party. I'm not saying the historical tour of downtown Scottsdale couldn't be fun, but like, if there's no booze, like, this is a bachelor party.
Your moms aren't there, my dude.
It's time to party. Yeah, this is not a family trip.
Yeah.
That's a vacation activity. That is not a bachelor party activity.
A bachelor party is 48 to 72 hours of just go. Just go. Yep. Have fun. Have good conversations. Share stories. Have a blast. Connect with your people. But it's not a time to schedule meetings and appointments. Yes. Like, you set a tea time. Set it later in the day, if possible, if the weather abides. Like, don't... An itinerary for a bachelor party that is that strict?
Yeah. No, it's that sounds like a terrible... action out there, especially if you're gonna have to foot the bill for part of it as well.
Yes,
in on this, it's like, no, I don't. Yeah. I wouldn't pay for that at all. So 100%, get yourselves to make sure none of that happens. Yes. Like I said, get the boys together, little clandestine meetings, and then stage a little mutiny.
Yeah, you know? I think 100%. Just operate in the shadows and you'll be all right. You get everyone on your side, and if you don't want to, I guess, isolate's not necessarily the right word, but make the best man feel totally on the outs. Maybe what you do is you say, hey, listen, we're going to amend this itinerary a little bit.
He'll like that word if you use the word amend.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the word he'll respond
to. We're not going to getting a bunch of dudes moving in the same direction and staying on schedule is nearly impossible.
Remove the dudes. Get a bunch of people going in one direction.
Facts.
You know, it's just impossible.
One activity a day. Two at most. If you get there on a Thursday, maybe that Friday's your big day and you have a big brunch and then you go out that night, or you do a day activity, you watch a game or something, you golf in the morning, you go out that night, something like that.
Now, if you guys aren't like big drinkers out there, maybe this is more your level then. But if you guys are like at least not big drinks, just like casual, like you want to enjoy a bachelor party and just let loose for the weekend, you cannot have an itinerary that's against the rules.
Yeah, that's true. I was forgetting that some people don't rage as hard as we do.
No, that's not true. Yeah, that's very true. Some people aren't crazy like that.
But still, if an itinerary and like to the minute and when people need to be home is crazy.
This isn't vacation Bible school. Okay?
Exactly.
This is a bachelor party.
I think vacation Bible school is less strict than that, so to be honest.
There's free time out there.
There is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement to roam in those situations.
Well, hopefully that was helpful. We only have a couple minutes here. Do you want to knock out a Grinds My Gear or two? Do you have some ready to go or no?
I'm ready to go.
He's got some. Let him rip, baby.
Oh, all right. Let's do it.
You know what really grinds my gears?
That best man. Horrible.
Oh, man. All right, let's stay on the wedding topic real quick.
Yeah. You know what really grinds my gears?
When people hit up the bride and groom just several months out from the wedding, telling us about your problems for the wedding, you knew months and months in advance what was going on, when it was happening. Figure it out. Just figure it out. Don't involve me. Shout out to John. I love him. This weekend he tells me, hey, I don't have my passport yet, but I can expedite it. And I told him, please, shut up. Not my problem. You're a big boy. You can figure it out.
Yeah.
So you knew for over 10 months now.
How do you not have a passport? Wait.
That's gotcha. Yeah.
You know what really grinds my gears?
How do you not have a passport?
I was like, why are you clicking at me? That's not my...
That's totally fair. Yeah.
If you're an adult right now, just get your passport. Okay, you never know when you might need it. Going to TJ is kind of nice every once in a while. Little spontaneous trips, you know, a little bull show, a little bullfighting show.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
that type of show.
That's you got another one.
I was kind of like, no, I know right now.
You don't. Okay, no worries.
That's such a sad note.
Oh, man. We really...
here we go.
Peter got one. Oh,
I
got you one. Do? All right.
Yeah.
You know what really grinds my gears?
People that take over their... take home their salad. Why are you taking your salad home? There's no point in taking your salad home.
Those are not good then.
If you don't eat it right then and there, it's done for.
Yes.
You're not going to remake that salad fresh again.
No.
It's not going to survive the trip. It's done for. So, yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. There you go. Leave it on a high note.
Yeah.
All right. We'll catch you guys next week, and you gals, and everyone in between. Much love. It's been real, y'all.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Next up, Le Show.
Here it is. I almost forgot about that.
From deep inside your audio device.